I was lucky enough about a month ago to receive an invitation from Wilmington Police Chief Philip Arnold, who happens to join us this morning on the Turk Furniture Studio Line. Good morning, Chief Arnold. How are you today?
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you very much for coming on. And we hope to be joined by Deputy Chief Todd Friddle from the Wilmington Fire Protection District here in just a couple of moments. I was lucky enough to get an invitation to come down and watch training with the Joint Task Force made up of Wilmington Police and Fire. This was at the Wilmington Firing Range that, folks, you'll never find it. Even if I gave you a general direction of where it was, it is so far off the beaten path and out in the middle of nowhere, you will never find it and be able to see any of this stuff for yourself. They make it that way on purpose so no one can see them when they're training and be around when shots are being fired, so on and so forth, with live ammo. But Chief Arnold asked me to come down and check out a training exercise that they were doing together. Again, hence the Joint Task Force. And Chief, I got to tell you, I was so impressed with the detail, with the attention paid by both officers and paramedics and firefighters, and just how the whole program was run. It was first class.
Thanks, Scott. But, you know, and that really is a culmination of efforts by, it really truly was a program put together by both police and fire, and that's what really makes it work, is getting input from everybody. And our Wilmington Fire Protection District is second to none. Chief Slomi and Deputy Chief Friddle have been involved. And here at the police department, our detective Samantha Sullivan and our range master Pat Kerr worked together. I had nothing to do with it other than kind of saying, please go ahead and do it. Something that's been evolving for years and years and years. They finally took the bull by the horns and got together and put together a plan and executed the training. And we wanted to have you down to see how well it was going to go.
And we're going to share a video that we produced here at WJAble Radio, what the whole night looked like, give you a chance to see exactly what I got to experience. We'll be posting that on our website a little bit later on here this morning. Chief, you talked about Pat Curry. He was with Joliet for a long, long time. You're lucky to have someone with that much experience. He was so impressive watching how he trained people. And Samantha, she was absolutely fantastic, and she commanded the respect and got it from each and every one of those people listening to her.
It is, you know, and of course, safety is the first thing that we worry about, you know, in training like that, because we're using live ammunition. It was live fire training. And just a kind of a background of what the training was for, you know, things have evolved in how we react to active shooter situations. And that really, the big turn of events was when Columbine happened back in 1999. It's hard to believe it's been that long ago, Scott, but I mean, I had officers that weren't even thinking about being police officers yet. But, you know, when that happened, it was a big turn in how these things were handled. You know, at that time, it was you wait for the SWAT team to arrive. And what law enforcement found out is that you can't wait. When there's an active shooter situation, you have to prioritize that. You have to go in and you have to eliminate the threat. So right away, when that happened, even here in Illinois, we started doing training on rapid response. And in fact, one of our local people was very instrumental, Jeff Chudwin, in putting together a lot of training classes for that. I think I went to my instructor training in 2000, actually, for rapid response. And it was changing from setting up a perimeter, waiting for the SWAT team to arrive, to when you hear that there's an active event going on, people are getting hurt or killed, you make entry. You don't wait for a SWAT team. So we had to come up with ways to train for that. At that training, you would, going to get to the active threat, you would be sitting over people who had been seriously injured to still try and get to that threat.
Right.
So what we had to do next was to come up with a plan for once that team is in going for the active threat, who goes in next to try and save the lives of people who are severely injured.
Right, and that's what you folks will see in the video, how the police took out the threat with live ammunition, but at the same time protected the first responders. And on the line with this is Deputy Chief Todd Friddle from the Wilmington Fire Protection District. Deputy Chief, thanks for coming on this morning. So the police, they sign up going in for being around live active fire. I mean, that's what part of the job is. You carry a weapon, you use that weapon when it's necessary. Paramedics and firefighters aren't used to being around Todd live fire, but you put them right in under fire on that training night.
That's right, Scott. Things have evolved in the fire service over the years, and although it's the fire department, you know, it's truly an emergency service organization. Kind of the backbone of the fire service is being flexible and being able to meet the needs of whatever is going on in society at the times, whether it be fire rescue, emergency medicine, and as we've had some of these issues in society with the active threats, adapting to those. And we've always taken the stance that if we have the training and equipment to deal with the situation, we're going to engage. And that's kind of the pendulum swing with us getting in that environment is finding the need, as Chief Arnold spoke to, and finding a way to get the training and equipment to our people and provide some of this cross-training to get them in to make that difference.
And I think equally as important is being around that live fire so you feel a little bit more comfortable. You're comfortable going into burning buildings and, you know, helping people out of horrible situations on I-55 a lot of times. You're right down there in the heart of it all. But to get them comfortable with shots being fired, live ammo being fired around them is critical in a situation like this. And I thought they handled it great. You could tell the intensity was there. That their eyes, popped open pretty big when the guns first started going off. But I think training like this is priceless.
Yeah, and safety is paramount. You know, we spent a lot of time in the front end of this because there's not a whole lot of this training going on out there. And of course, the potential threat of something happening to our people in that training environment. A credit to the Wilmington Police Department's range staff that I work with to try to develop curriculum to provide that safe training. And yeah, and it's just a bit of stress inoculation. Yep. We wanted to provide those guys that typically aren't in that environment, should something happen where we receive gunfire from an active threat, kind of like what happened in the Aurora incident early last year when they had rescue task force members in the building, law enforcement, and took some casualties, how they react, so it's not the first time they're in that environment should they have to go do that.
Well, it was certainly an experience for me to see and quite educational. Chief Arnold, I know when we were talking after your test ended that night or the training ended that night, you said, I am offering this to other law enforcement agencies in the area, other towns, small towns, big towns. I know you're inviting them to come down, bring their fire departments down, and do exactly what Wilmington was able to do, correct?
That's something we like to work on because we all work together. We're really fortunate that in the last couple of years, the Sheriff's Department has actually put together the rapid response training, trying to tie all that in. So every agency in the area has the same training because, the truth is, if something happens, I only have two or three officers working, usually two. So if we have a major event like this, we're getting assistance from our neighbors, from Elwood, from Shannon, from Shorewood, from Braidwood, the county, the state police are going to come. So it's important that we're all trained the same so that when those guys show up, and we've done some pretty big trainings on a county level, over the last couple of years toward this RTF concept, that when they get there, no matter where you're from, you know what your role is going to be.
Right.
And something we had to overcome was from the original rapid response training, again, the training was you're going to the shooter. When you hear the shots fired, you're going to that. You're going to eliminate the threat. When we've changed to the RTF concept where we have paramedics with us to treat injured people, the biggest was to train the police officers to, if you're on that team, if you're on the RTF team with a team of paramedics there to rescue people, their job is not to go towards the shots for being fired.
Right.
Their job is to protect the paramedics and the people they're treating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've already have teams in to try and eliminate the threat. So these RTF teams had to be trained. Hey, when you hear that, you don't leave the paramedics on their own and take off. You're staying with that team and you're making sure that they're being getting out of that building safely, right? And that's kind of what you saw in the training. You know, when there was a confrontation in the front, that lead officer would take over to limit the threat. The second officer would go up to assist him. Once that threat was down, second officer goes back and leads that team of paramedics and the injured person out to safety.
Get them out of there. Get them out of the building altogether, because you don't know if there's more than just one threat or if all of the threats have been eliminated or not. Well, it truly was, again, educational, and it was intense, and something I've never experienced before, and I haven't. Not that I didn't respect law enforcement and fire before, but a whole nother level of respect after watching just training of what you guys potentially would have to deal with in Wilmington or any other towns around. Chief Philip Arnold, Wilmington Police Department, Deputy Chief Todd Friddle from the Fire Protection District. Gentlemen, thank you for including me on your training. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming down. And you know, we are going to try and get this opened up in the near future. Everyone, like I said, the whole county, we've done a lot of meetings about it and talked about it. You know, unfortunately, can't keep waiting until the next incident happens. We need to be ready for it.
Thanks, guys. Phil, thanks. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care of yourself. Again, you